At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is a podcast called 25 Whistles Talking Football, and they all wear a whistle. Yeah, it's stupid, but what did you expect? It's a podcast called 25 Whistles.
25 Whistles. Hey, what's happening? 25 Whistles, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings app and use the code BOBBYSPORTS to get in on the action. Ed, you want to whistle us in?
Of course I do. Let's go.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. We don't always do shows early in the week, but after the first weekend, especially in college football, we got to come on and talk about what happened over the weekend. But before we get going, let's do the warm-up question. How much do you think you can bench press?
Oh, come on.
Oof. That's the question. And nobody say their answer depending on what other people are saying, okay? How much do you think you can bench press? Let's go to Eddie first.
This is the max?
One time, one rep.
All right, what's 45 plus 45? Is that 90? Mm-hmm. That's two plates, mm-hmm. and then plus the bar, what's
135
that?
135 would be that.
135 is my answer. I'm Eddie, and 135 is my answer. What else do I do, my birthday?
I don't care today. I was just asking. That's why we're warming up. We're not all there yet. You know?
Yeah, all right.
I know what I can bench press because I do bench press quite regularly. In one rep, I could probably do 230, which is pretty good for me.
Dang.
It's the highest I have ever had, honestly. When I got like 210 and he didn't tell me it was 210, my trainer, he was like, see if you can get this. I think it's like 175. And I was like, well, I've got this for now. I pushed up pretty. I was like, he goes, I lied. It was 210. I was like, what? So it was all head. It's all mental. So one rep. I'm just going to go 225. We go 225.
That's amazing.
One rep. Kickoff Kevin, that was bigger than I am.
Of course.
But I don't really go for the, a lot of weight anymore. I'm more of the push-ups, lightweight kind of guy now.
So am I. I mean, you act like I'm trying to jack up a bunch of weight.
But that's solid for your weight. Dang, that's pretty good. I've never been a strong bencher. I would probably say 240, 245.
You just had to go a little bit more than me. Like, he couldn't even just say the same. He had to go just a little bit. Hey, Mike D, what about you?
I know I can do 200 comfortably, so I could probably go 215.
That's strong.
Yeah.
That's
solid.
That's really strong. So, since we've spoken last, let me let you guys in on a few things. My wife and I go on vacation, and we go to a place I'd never been before, Turks and Caicos. I don't even know where it was. Sounds like a Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, honestly. Where is that?
It's over in those islands near the Bahamas. Mm. It's right there. Like Haiti. Been there for Amy's co-host's kids when she adopted them. Been to the Bahamas, the Caribbean, all that, right?
I feel like you have no idea what you're talking about.
I do because I've been, but I have to like really because I didn't.
You're like, you know, over there. Where
they're all
those
near
islands
each other.
Are.
That's it. They're all right there, okay. Like off of Florida.
Okay.
And so we had to go somewhere somewhat close. And who knew Turks and Caicos was kind of close? Because once we got to Atlanta, it's like 2 hours. So we go to Atlanta, it's 2 hours there. We land, we're at a place. And it's like night three, and it's a nice place. And so we're staying in this resort type thing. And Caitlin goes, something's happening. I'm like, what do you mean something's happening? She goes, look, there's like security everywhere. And I look, and it's like three big dudes in Nike Jumpman t-shirts, all matching. So you can tell they're all together. And she goes, look at all these dudes. She goes, they're here for somebody. And me, I'm just trying to have my souffle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When else do I have a souffle except on a fancy Turks and Caicos dinner?
I don't even know what that is.
Exactly. I don't know what a souffle is either. I'll be honest with you. Is that when they light it on fire?
Sounds fancy.
Yeah, that's a flambe. Oh, I don't know my bays. Get my bays mixed up. So we're in, and she goes, oh, it's Drake. I see him. And I was like, Drake White, the country singer? She goes, no, Drake, you know. You're my only everything. Yeah. And I was
I
was like, Rich, she goes, don't turn around. And I'm like, well, when you say don't turn around, all I want to do is turn around.
And she just said Drake is here.
Drake, yeah. And she goes, it's Drake. And it's with his girlfriend. And she goes, I can see them. She goes, but don't turn around. So you know what I do is I get my phone and I put it on reverse.
That's right.
And she goes, no, you can see that too.
Yeah.
She goes, and she said to me, she goes, when people take pictures of us out and they do all these tricks, don't you see it immediately? I'm like, yeah.
She goes,
well, stop doing that. And so she goes, okay, they're about to walk by. So one of Drake's security guys, and Drake walks right by the table. And it's Drake. And he's a little shorter than I thought. Mike, would you Google Drake's height? Can't be 6 foot tall.
Okay, that's what I would have thought.
Yeah.
So they walk by, and I can hear the manager, because it's a small place, and they asked the manager to clear everybody out of the restaurant because Drake wanted to eat. So they wanted us to all be cleared.
Everybody.
There were only like four tables there. Later in the night, small. It's also close to hurricane season, and kids are back in school, so there aren't a lot of people there. What's his height, Mike?
Internet says 6 foot.
Bull crap. Internet's full of crap.
So he's shorter than that?
Yeah. And so I hear the manager go, sir, no disrespect, but nobody here cares. Meaning, like, nobody's going to bother him. She was like, everybody here has their own thing going on. No one's going to go and bother your client. And he's like, okay. Can we at least make everybody put their phones away? She goes, sir, I'm not going up to these people that are staying at this place because it's a luxury resort and say, hey, would you mind putting your phone away? So either you can have dinner here like you've requested, or we can try to put you somewhere else. And I think they were kind of shocked by that, to be honest.
Wow.
Because I think most times people just do whatever. But basically the woman was like, sir, there are other people here that probably have their pictures taken too. And just go chill. That was basically what she told him.
I love that.
Me too.
I thought it was cool because I just didn't want to get up. I was eating my souffle.
And you interrupt him. You're like, oh, by the way, we do care.
And I was also like, cool. Can I get a picture? Oh, yeah. I was like, I was trying to do a reverse of the picture there. So they told Drake they go put him up a table at the beach. And they walked him down where nobody was. And anybody could have got a table at the beach, but there was nobody down there. So they just put him up a table and he went down there and ate. But they did not let Drake kick us out of the restaurant.
Amazing.
Which I thought was really cool. And I was just happy that I got to keep eating and didn't have to get up. And I saw Drake.
What would you have done, though? You take your food to go?
I'd probably gotten a fight with Drake for the press.
Okay. There you go.
I'd have recorded it,
honestly.
I'd have turned my phone on and recorded it and been like, okay, they're kicking us out because Drake's here. And they would have probably then said, please, sir, don't post that. We'll give you a deal on your room.
There you go.
And then I'd have said, ooh, deal. Nice. And I'd accepted the deal, but then I would have got back and still had the video and then posted the video and got a double deal.
Boom.
Called double dipping.
And then talked about how, like, oh, how diva Drake is. And can't
believe
this happened.
Well, then I would have gotten to a feud with Drake, except he wouldn't have known it was a feud. It would have been a one-sided feud.
Because that would have been in your head.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But I wouldn't have stopped. And I'd have put out diss tracks.
Yeah. In the shower thoughts?
It'd have been nonstop. So that happened. I watched the Manti Te'o documentary.
Come on. Yes. I want to hear this.
Two parts. You know, they kind of pulled me different directions during the documentary. And I'm going to say at first, because I don't want to mess up saying the wrong thing, because as soon as it starts, they say, and I'm going to mess up when he was a he, his name, Renaya.
Yes.
Everybody's watched it?
Yes.
Manti Te'o documentary?
Yep.
Okay. They didn't know Renaya was now a woman.
Correct.
And so when they kept referring to him as he, they didn't know that Renaya had transitioned. But Renaya, the person who, Renaya was the one that catfished.
Yes, the catfisher.
Back in the day, right? But now she is on talking about why she did it, and it leads with her. And you just didn't expect to see the catfisher until the very end, or like they're knocking on the door, like Crime Stoppers going, come out. But she's like, I'm sorry. I should have never done it. Here's why. At times, she was like, feel sorry for me. And I couldn't.
No.
I felt sorry for her for different reasons, but not because of that.
Right.
Do you think there was any chance he knew what was going on? That's really one Manti? Of the questions. Yes. Do you think there was any chance? What's the percentage chance if 100 means absolutely yes? Eddie?
After watching the documentary, zero. Because it was the whole storyline of him going to a college or a place in America that he just wasn't, he didn't know anyone in Notre Dame. He was homesick. He missed his family. And in Hawaii, that culture is so tight, like the way he explained in the documentary, that I understand where he didn't want to communicate with other people. He was so focused on football that when he found quote unquote love mm-hmm. through the internet, that was someone from his culture, he fell right in. And I mean, I bit that story. I believe it. So I think that he didn't know at all about this catfishing thing.
I mean, I've been catfished before pretty hard. And I can't say zero, but again, there's almost no chance he knew. I put it at 1%.
Yeah.
I just put that there because how am I really supposed to know? Maybe he knew earlier than they're letting – maybe he figured it out early. I felt terrible for him.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, terrible.
Awful.
He seems like such a good dude. And I did think it was weird he went to Notre Dame when actually hearing the story.
Right?
Mm-hmm. He was like, and a lot of people pray for a lot of things. But I just prayed for some guidance, and he walks up a hill, and there's a guy. And he's like, hey, go to Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, that was my sign.
That was his sign.
Wait, what?
Because you already had the ticket punched for USC. He was ready to go.
And the guy told him, there's a lot of Polynesian players at USC. Go be the first Manti Te'o at Notre Dame where it's cold in the Midwest.
Yeah, where you're
Catholic. Yeah, the whole thing.
That part to me was bizarre. That's how he ended up picking that school.
Yeah.
But I felt terrible at the end when he's like, he was not a good NFL player. And then you start to actually hear why. He was mm-hmm. like, I questioned everything all the time. So I couldn't play free because why would I not question myself? I made a terrible judgment here. What about the rest of my job? Like he,
it's just weird though, because like, you know, he's not to blame for this. Like if all of this is the way, you know, they're saying it is, he's not to blame. He
was catfishing wasn't a thing, by the way.
Right.
He had no idea.
Yeah.
He was a victim, and for everyone to judge him the way they did and the way the media went after him and all this stuff, that's just so unfair, and it ruined his football career. And dude, you feel really sad for him.
I see him on TikTok occasionally doing motivational stuff. I mean, he may be a coach now, maybe, or like a high school. He's awesome. Like I just felt terrible for him.
Yeah.
It's super sad. He was a killer.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a stone cold killer.
Yeah, he was.
Junior, his senior year defensively, he was just killing folks. But he played terrible in the national championship game.
Yeah.
And I would too if I find out right before then the news story.
Imagine being the Heisman, that whole ceremony. That's the only thing you think about.
And he was like, oh, yeah. I knew, but I. And people were giving him crap going, why did you answer that way? I would have answered that way too. I would have been like, let me just get through this.
Yeah.
But it was good. I give it 4 out of 5 lays.
Yeah, Hawaiian lays.
And nice. I have a better understanding because I was making a lot of fun of it back in the day too. I just didn't know enough. It was good, and I felt bad, and I do recommend it.
Yeah. I mean, you followed the story pretty well back then, right?
I did, but I still didn't. Because, again, that catfishing was so new.
Mm-hmm.
I did.
That's what's interesting about the documentary is you think you knew the whole story, and then you watch it, and you're like, gosh, I didn't know any of this stuff.
I watched the Tim Donaghy documentary.
Oh, I haven't watched it. I almost watched that yesterday, but.
It's great.
Okay.
So he's the referee that got busted and had to go to jail for fixing games, which he claims he didn't. That he just had inside information. I'm not going to say a lot about it since you guys haven't watched it.
Okay.
It's real good.
Okay.
I give it 4.5 basketballs.
Really?
It's real good.
Wow.
And a lot of stuff I didn't know, and I like to think I know because I follow this stuff as close as I can. But, you know, an hour and 10-minute documentary, you're going to see things and go, oh, this.
Right.
And I'll say this too. My opinion, I don't know if I should give an opinion. I don't think he was alone.
Okay.
Because he wasn't, and they busted two other dudes with him, but I don't think he's the only ref doing it. And you can have your own opinion. It doesn't say that, but watching it, there's just no way. But I'm going to leave it at that, but I recommend it. Really good. It's the same series on Netflix.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a good series.
Untold is what it's called. So that's good. So I think Drake and those two things were the ones I wanted to mention. I got all my stuff in from the guy that died.
The Arkansas guy, yeah.
Paul Eels, and I bought from his estate sale a bunch of old school Arkansas stuff. Mike, do we have the clip?
Yep.
How long is it?
2.5 minutes.
That's way too long. I tell you what, we'll put it in this.
Okay.
And we'll just play it. But you know, I got a cheerleader. I got some Barbie cheerleaders.
Barbie cheerleader.
I got some like 89, 84, 93 Final Four sweatshirts, some old books. I got some old records. Like Lou Holtz when he was coach of the Razorbacks, and Luke Holtz signed him.
What? That's cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's really cool.
So here, you won't be able to hear this, guys, now, but here's the 2.5 minute clip of me going through and just kind of laying out some of the stuff.
Okay, we're looking at all the stuff I got from an estate sale from an old Razorback sportscaster. I bought it all from his house estate sale. So let's see here. We got Nickname Mania, the book. The best of college nicknames and mascots. And the stories behind them. There's a big Razorback on there in the front, but it's got all the colleges. The Razorbacks, a story of Arkansas football. Big, thick book here. University of Arkansas All-Americans, 1928 to 1997. Here's a record, vinyl. Looks like with Lou Holtz on the front. He used to coach Arkansas. Hog Wild. Boom. Records are made to be broken, but not this one. Is that a real signature? And here's Razorback Fever. With Lou Holtz. I think he literally signed these because he wrote the same thing on both of them. Wow. Such songs as Razorback Fever, Arkansas, You're Where I Want to Be, Son of a Razorback, and Ode to Billy Ray. But there's also one called Ask Oklahoma. All right. We got two Razorback plush bears. They're kind of Beanie Babies, but they are made in China. Toy Factory. All right. We got two University Barbies in an Arkansas Razorback uniform. I'm going to take one of these to work with me. We got a University of Arkansas ornament, mascot ornament. We got a athletic director, Frank Broyles bobblehead. Pretty legit. We got a 1994 Rainbow Classic bag. We have a extra large sweatshirt, 1995 in Seattle, NCAA Final Four, UCLA, Arkansas, Oklahoma State, North Carolina. A hat, 1993 Final Four. A signed football by Houston Nutt and the entire Arkansas football team from the year 2000. It says, nothing but fun. A 2000 Cotton Bowl signed ball by the head coach, Houston Nutt. And finally, my most prized possession, Arkansas Christmas. This is Santa Claus, full Arkansas gear. He's got a bag that says Arkansas on it. It's Arkansas pins. He's got a hog head. He's got Arkansas on his hat. This is Arkansas standing right here. And everybody else can suck it. So this is my get right here. Is this creepy or not? Boom.
Okay, so there you go. That's me and everybody in the studio went, well.
We have no idea.
I just jumped 1 second ahead in real life.
It sounded awesome.
Let me say this. I had quite the week betting. And I put all my bets here on the show. I set them. So I'm not coming to you now going, oh, I won a bunch of games. I set all my bets here. And so seven for seven almost.
Good job, man. Really?
Yeah, I made a bunch of money. It was awesome.
That was awesome.
We did a video at 25 Whistles. Go to the Instagram page. You'll see it up there. But this is brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. I was using DraftKings even before we started this show. I'm a big DraftKings guy. They're an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download DraftKings app. Use the code BobbySports and get in on the action now. But I did say, I was betting on, I bet the Florida money line. I didn't just take that 2 points. I bet the Florida money line because I thought it was too close. If it's going to be that close, I'm just going to take the team to win for the most part. And then Florida won and beat Utah. Shocked everybody except me.
You knew.
Well, I just said I thought they were just going to be bigger and faster and stronger.
That was it.
And the swamp's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I gave you guys a 3-team parlay. I bet $100 on the parlay. It was Alabama basically giving up 40, which that game was over quick.
Oh, yeah.
They played Utah State, and I was like, oh, hopefully it's not to the end. It was like 28-31, nothing at half, something like that.
Yeah, it was looking good at half.
Georgia crushed Oregon. That one was out of control quick, too.
Right, get-go.
So I had Georgia minus 17 and Arkansas money line, which we got at times a bit close.
Yeah.
A little roller coaster.
Yeah, but I never really felt like Arkansas was going to lose the game. But I hit it. I bet $100, won $530.
Woo!
Yeah, on that one. But I bet it twice. I bet it
by accident?
Well, no, I bet it with different odds. And I bet it when the line changed on the Alabama line.
Because they started at like 38 something.
They started 38 and a half, and it went off at 41.
Yeah.
But they put on the front of DraftKings as their on their main site. When you logged in, it was like 25 whistles bet. Anybody could bet it.
Yeah. I saw it. It's amazing.
I couldn't believe it. It's like one of the coolest things. I was like, I'm on DraftKings. Telling my wife, she was like, you're on an app? I was like, yeah.
It's cool. Look.
She goes, you're on Disney Plus doing a TV show.
Yeah, forget about that.
I'm on DraftKings. Just use the code Bobby Sports if you sign up. I bet on Ohio State to win, but Notre Dame to cover because Notre Dame was minus 17.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened? No, Ohio State was minus 17.
Yeah.
But Notre Dame covered.
Yes.
So I hit that one. And then last week, which I didn't mention, the parlay was Vanderbilt minus 8.5. And then the over, and I hit that. I bet $100, won $365. So I wagered $500 through this and won $1,400.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Through the bets I've done here on this show. I sent Eddie a couple bets. The one I missed, though, in real life that I bet quickly was the Texas A&M. I had them giving up 31. No, what did I have?
Yeah, it was
they
30,
didn't cover.
31 and a half, I think.
Yeah, they missed by like a point.
They had that long delay, too, right?
Yes, it was a weather delay.
Yes, a weather delay.
And I told Bones, I went to Sam Houston State, so I know you don't bet against the Bearcats. And I told, dude, easy money. You got to bet the Bearcats plus, 31 and a half or whatever. And they covered. Boom!
They did, barely, but they did. I didn't lose that one as a non-public. I was just sitting there bored watching a game. But I hit a couple other. I had a 9-team parlay. I hit 8 of them.
9.
Missed the 9th when Vanderbilt didn't cover. And they covered for most of the game.
Question. How much do you put on a 9-game parlay?
Well, let me look.
Because I won't put more than $2.
If I feel pretty good about it, like I did, because I felt like I was going to hit all 9.
Uh-huh.
And all,
eight?
God dang it, I almost
eight?
Did. Yeah,
that's crazy.
Well, Bones, I feel like I'm going to hit all 9 every time I place a bet.
But I don't, though. Sometimes I bet parlays I don't think I'm going. I'm like, I feel pretty good about it. But on this one, I felt like I was going to crush. Michigan, moneyline 1. UCLA, moneyline 1. Georgia, moneyline 1. Arkansas, moneyline 1. Ole Miss, moneyline 1. Ohio State, moneyline 1. South Carolina, 12.5 spread, 1. Mississippi State, moneyline 1. Vanderbilt. Minus 19, lost. I bet on that one. That one, $200. And if I would have won, it was like
$2,000.
Yeah,
interesting. You did all most money lines. Did you do all except two?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one that bit you. I mean, that Vanderbilt
one.
The odds. I mean, God, that's crazy. I love doing money line parlays because that does make it more of a fair playing field. You know, you're just picking winner loser, not messing with these crazy odds, but. You don't get paid as much, obviously, with those heavy favorite, like Michigan, whatever, was probably, 20 point?
They were a heavy favorite.
Yeah, heavy favorite. So when
But it still adds to it.
It does add to it, and that's what people don't realize. So it is cool, even though it is a 9-gamer, that money line is the way to do it.
Yeah, sucked. The last game sucked.
I get it.
Yeah.
Was that the last one, too, or no?
It's finishing up at the same time as the other ones. 21 up in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for terms and resources. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Tennessee, call or text Tennessee Red Line, 800-889-9789. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY, which is 467-369. We're going to get to the tittle-tattle, and before we get to it, do you have Reed's clips, Mike, that he made?
Yeah.
So Reed...
With my voice?
Yeah. Have you heard him?
No. Yes.
Reed works for me in all capacities. He's the videos you see, edited, everything. Reed's awesome. But Reed also plays music. And so Eddie just sang. I said, Eddie, whatever you sing here, that's going to be the jingle.
No pressure.
Here's the jingles Reed made with your just singing on the show. Kay. Go ahead.
Adam Stats. Adam has all your stats for you. Adam Stats. Woo!
Wow.
So that's for our segment we do on Fridays, Adam Stats.
Wow, that's almost TGIF style. Like, that can go with a TV show.
And then here, after you finish, go ahead.
Adam Stats. That's Adam Stats. He's got those stats for you.
How do you like those stats? Yeah!
So wow. Every time we do that, so now we got to get a tittle-tattle one.
Ooh.
And I haven't thought about this much, but I'm gonna do the tittle-tattle jingle.
Nice.
Do it.
Hey, stay on the same key. Don't do what I did. Just go completely different for that ending.
Okay. Oh, what kind of vibe do I want?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so let me just run through a couple things. Kick off Kevin's tittle tattle. Kick off Kevin. Okay, go. It's kick off Kevin's tittle tattle. Kick off Kevin's tittle tattle. He says questions. I answer questions. No one says questions. They say ask questions. Kickoff Kevin's. Tittle tattle. I don't know about that one.
Okay. It's interesting.
Yeah, I messed up. I said says questions, not ask questions. And I knew then I messed it up.
I think simple is better.
Yeah, let me try again. Okay? Let me try again. Hey, you think that because that's a trend now, but I'm trying to be ahead of the trend. Okay, here we go. Here we go. It's time for the tittle tattle. It's time for the tittle tattle. It's time for the stupidest name ever. It's the tittle tattle with Kickoff Kevin.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's good.
Reed,
good.
Can you take that and make that a thing? I'll make it work. He said, I'll make it work.
That's all right. Beautiful.
All right, let's do the tittle tattle. Next episode, though, we'll have a jingle.
Ooh.
All right, go ahead, Kevin.
Anticipation. All right, which kicker do you think had a worse week one, LSU or Eastern Carolina?
I was watching the Eastern Carolina game because it was on before the Arkansas game, and they kicked the kickoff back because of that. I'm going to go with the LSU kicker because that was the final. The Eastern Carolina kicker missed it.
He had time on the clock.
He pulled it, missed it, just a straight miss, by the way.
Yeah.
But then they had a chance again, and they did not convert. They didn't, score.
Yeah.
The LSU kicker, although it was blocked, that's still him, even though it's partially not. I don't know. I just go LSU kicker. Oh, go ahead, Ed. Eddie blows the whistle. He's arguing. I like it. Hey, let's go. Let's mix it up.
Once a kick is blocked, it's no longer your fault. That's not true. Yes, it is. No, that's the line's fault. You let those two dudes get in there. I did my job. That kick would have gone in. You don't know. It wouldn't have.
I'm curious about the angle of the kick because sometimes it is the kicker's fault because they kick it low.
Yeah.
They don't. I didn't see the angle of the kick because first of all, after he muffed the punt, the LSU guy muffed the punt, I turned it off. And my buddy's like, turn the game back on. I'm like, what? He said, Florida State just.
It's getting crazy.
And now LSU just drove, and there's 1 second left, and they got one. I'm like, what?
Yeah, it was a 95-yard drive.
And so I turned it on, and I was like, what is happening right now?
Yeah.
So did you happen to see, Kevin, if the angle of the kick was the kicker's fault?
No, the only angle I saw was from behind, so you couldn't see the trajectory of the kick. Just the guy coming through.
Eddie, I agree with you in principle, and I will accept that whistle.
Thank you.
I still put it on him because that was the final play of the game. He's got to talk to his line better. Like, all right, boys, I need you.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a hard way to lose, dude. I mean, really hard way to lose.
And you're right. Sometimes it is the line's fault.
Sure.
In that situation, though, it's hard to block those kicks with any sort of line play at all. It's almost most times an angle play.
Dude, that Eastern Carolina kick, though, man, that's like my golf shot.
Yeah. That's totally. What I said. It's just happened.
It's brutal.
Yes.
All right, tittle tattle, next question.
All right, they announced that the college football playoff will expand to 12 teams. We saw the other night, number 3 Georgia beat the crap out of Oregon, number 11. Do you think this is kind of the foreshadowing for what we might see when that comes through in 2024 or 26?
Yeah, and I'm okay with that. Same thing in basketball. I mean, although there are more teams, there are whoopings for the first couple rounds. But we get to finally shut up this one or two little school who was like, we went undefeated. We want to be in. Okay, cool. Well, come on in.
Yeah.
Hey, door's open.
Here's your shot.
And here it is. And so we don't want to hear you the rest of the year.
Yeah.
And maybe you prove us wrong, but yeah, the first rounds will probably be a bit more lopsided for sure. So yes, my answer is going to be yes, but we get to shut up some napping poodles as well. And I think to me, that's better for college football. I don't want to have to hear them.
Those fan bases.
Yeah. Just shut up. I don't want to hear about it. All through the playoffs, all through the next season. I know UCF, you went undefeated. You don't get to put up a national championship in your stadium. Not that it didn't happen this last year, but it happened prior. So, yes, it will happen, but I'm pumped about it. I think going to 12 is awesome. And people are like, well, it lessens the games in the middle of the – no, it actually allows a team to lose once, maybe even twice, and still have a shot to play well and still win. So I'm totally for it. It's money play. It's a money play.
For sure.
More big games, more money.
More football.
And more teams actually have a chance to last. I love it. I love the NBA having the chance for other teams to get in late when they have the play in. I love baseball having more. I love it. Heck, play the whole season and just seed everybody based on the season and have a 100-team tournament. I'd be up for that.
Wow.
That's why everyone loves March Madness, right?
Let's go. All right, what else?
All right, Notre Dame played pretty tough against Ohio State the other night. They did lose. Do you think this proves that they belong in the top 10, Notre Dame, that is, or is it just Notre Dame having another disappointing loss?
I don't think it. I don't know. I'll watch the game. I don't know how I feel about it because it's either two really good teams who kind of battled it out and Notre Dame lost because they're not quite as good, or two teams that are a bit overrated and just played each other. They're both good, but if they're equal good, but they're both mediocre, they both look good. I don't know. Yeah. I think last year CJ Stroud had some wide receivers that helped him be amazing. I think he's a really great quarterback. But when you got the firepower he had last year, it's a little easier to be a really great quarterback. I think Ohio State is a really good team. I think Notre Dame's a fine, pretty good team. But I don't know yet because they haven't played anybody else. And you know what? Ohio State doesn't play a lot of great. They'll have a couple real challenges, but it's not like they have got a schedule either of just snipers looking to take them out. But I don't think Notre Dame's in the top 10 now.
Okay.
What else?
All right. After a brutal loss in week zero and struggling in week one against North Dakota, do you think Scott Frost at Nebraska will make it through this season?
Oh. Man, I hope he has a great year. He's not going to – it's not going to be great because of that loss, and he has not performed up to expectations. I love when, like, the Disney story of a team's guy comes back and coaches the team. That's why I rooted for Scott Frost. You get no more Nebraska than Scott Frost. Mm-hmm. I love that. He's a Nebraska guy. I hope he's able to – he's going to have a tremendous season to keep his job. I think he can keep his job if somehow they play out of their shoes the rest of the year. But if he has a pretty good season, I think he still goes. That's tough. That's tough.
They don't want to get rid of him.
I mean, they're 0-2, right?
That's tough.
No, they won.
Oh,
yeah,
but
then
they
this
lose
week.
To – oh, they won this week. Okay,
yeah, they won
okay,
this
but
week.
Didn't look great. Got it.
Yeah, I like Scott Frost. I like – you know, I want to go back and be the governor of Arkansas. I want to be the guy, right? That comes back to take us home and take him to the next level.
Right.
So I hope he does well, but he's going to have to really get close to winning a conference championship, which may not happen.
Yeah. Okay, final one here. Alabama and Georgia both had blowout wins this weekend. Are we kind of in the inevitable showdown of the SEC championship between these two teams at the end of the year?
Probably – And you can blow the whistle if you want, Eddie. I don't care.
Let me see what you have to say.
Probably, but I think that the SEC, their second tier of teams, there's enough teams that are pretty good to really good. They aren't quite as good as those two, but there's enough of them that one of those schools could slip up and possibly, I don't think they will, but could possibly lose. The SEC has more teams that could fluke out and beat them this year. Kentucky. Arkansas, Tennessee. I don't know about South Carolina. Rattler didn't play great. He played fine this week. I was really anxious to watch him play. Mm-hmm. Yes, my answer is going to be yes, but I think like a Texas A&M could maybe beat Alabama this year if they play right. Arkansas can maybe beat Alabama this year, but probably yes.
I'm not blowing the whistle on that. I agree with you.
Okay. All right. I do appreciate that whistle blow, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it.
Hey, if you say something I don't like, I'm going to blow the whistle.
I like that. I got a boner when you did it. All right.
Wait, what?
Is that it?
Yes. All right. That's it.
That is your
move on.
Tittle tattle. By the way, the college football playoff, it just kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I was like, was there a meeting I didn't know about? Because they'd had the meetings and they decided they were going to walk away from it and there was going to be no playoff. You remember this like three weeks ago?
Yeah, I was going to say that was only during, yeah.
And then, I get a headline. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They've 12 football playoffs happening. And I'm like, wait, I thought they canceled all meetings. So they go in. They, in 2026 at the latest, but what they're saying is if they can get the rules, all of the micro rules, not the macro, they will have it next year. Now, Sankey, SEC commissioner, goes, he doesn't see how that's going to happen.
Yeah, no way.
But everybody else is like, yeah, work. We'll get it done. So they have left it open for it to be a 2024 thing. But by 2026, we'll have a 12-team playoff. And I can't wait. I think it's amazing. Especially for a school like mine, who is not going to go undefeated for the most part. And maybe we can lose one or two and get in as a 9 or 10.
That'd be cool.
That'd be awesome. All right. You want to do the dang of the week? Dang.
Yes.
Or dang.
Oh, it could go either way.
That's
I
right.
like that.
Okay. So we've put it out there. It's called the dang of the week. It can be dang or it can be dang. Right. Eddie, who's your dang of the week?
Well, my dang of the week is Giselle. I mean, what do we got with Giselle going on? This is crazy. This Tom Brady Giselle thing.
I know.
Like, this is nuts. And I was trying to talk to my wife about it yesterday. And I'm like, you got to understand, if this is all true, that Tom said, I'm retiring, and they made this agreement. Okay, you're going to retire. Great. And then out of nowhere, Tom goes, you know what? No. I changed my mind. I'm going to go back to playing football. And she said, no, you're not, because I know Latina girls' bones. I'm Latino. Mm-hmm. And when a Latina goes, no, you're not retiring, Tom Brady. You're going to go. You're going to sit right here at home and be a mom.
Okay, I feel like you're Rosie Perez, but, and White Man Can't Jump.
Yeah, but because she's Brazilian. I don't know if that's how she talks. But I'm thinking this is just crazy. And Tom is out of his mind by thinking he's going to get his way at the end of the day. I think mentally this is going to screw with Tom Brady's head. There goes the Bucs season. This is just terrible.
That's why I left for 10 days now. It all makes sense.
You think anything screws with that guy's head?
Yes.
Honestly.
Hey, Bones, you've been married for over a year now. What have I always told you? Happy wife.
Then play more golf.
Come on. Fill in the blank.
No, I agree. But Tom Brady is the greatest of all time because he thinks, feels, reacts, and acts different than most folks.
Yeah.
But that's, again, why he left training camp for 10 days to go handle that situation. I hear they're not even living together right now.
Right.
Hey.
Dang.
Dang.
You know what I'm saying?
All right, dang. Kingdom, Kevin, what's your dang of the week?
All right, mine was dang because University of Arizona was playing San Diego State, and the punter was backed up against the back of the end zone. They're punting out of his own end zone, and he kicked it right into the back of his lineman's arm. Dang. So I'm like, dang. Yeah. Are you serious?
Hey, dang.
You know what? There are many. You know how sometimes people go, there are all these versions of the F word? And they're I think dang means that too. Because Eddie's is like, dang. And you're just like, dang. Like, dang. Sad dang.
Like, dang.
Like, dang.
So it was on the punter. He should have just taken one step. Yeah. He took two to three right into the lineman's arm. And the lineman, nothing he can do about that.
Yeah, that dang.
Oh, dang.
Dang. Dang. My dang of the week goes to Texas quarterback Quinn Ewers.
Oh, that's a good dang.
No.
Oh.
His car got towed during the game.
What?
And he tweeted out, I got my car towed during
where,
the game.
Where did he park?
I don't know.
So here he is. Parking handicap?
Yeah, I don't know.
He's so, like, I'm the starting quarterback here now.
It's like you're playing your game, you went, dang, go on.
You know, when your car gets towed, you can't say anything but dang. Like,
you're like, dang.
Dang.
I was literally up playing. So
imagine that.
That's funny.
He is my dang of the week.
Dang.
Hey, Kevin, make up a jingle for the dang of the week.
Come on, Kevin. Oh. You got this. Let's go.
It can be whatever you got.
All right.
Can Kevin sing?
No, I mean, I can.
We're about to find out.
Let me warm up. Dang, dang, dang.
Oh, I like where he's at. I like where your head's at, though. I like where your head's at.
All right. It's the dang of the week, right? All right. This is.
All right.
This is the dang, dang, dang of the week.
Boom. I like
okay,
it.
That's good. Okay. He had the different dings, yeah, which is good. Right.
We're going to have a whole arsenal of terrible jingles that Reed is just sitting at home making all this music for. Like, the jingles are going to be awesome that you're doing, but ours are so bad that you're having to make them up, Reed. We feel bad for you. All right, that's the dang of the week. DraftKings. If you're a football fan like myself, you love DraftKings. The first Sunday of the NFL season is obviously here. We'll be talking about that mostly on the show coming up on Friday. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving new customers a can't-miss offer to celebrate the return of the new season. This is what's crazy. If you're a new customer, you can bet $5. You just bet the $5, and then you get $200 in free bets instantly. You don't have to win the $5. You don't have to win. You just bet $5, you get $200 in free bets instantly. And right now, there's also what they are doing for the early win promotion. You bet on any NFL team to win. If that team leads by 10 points at any point during the game, you get paid instantly, even if your team loses. So if they go up by 10, you automatically win. And if they lose, you still get to keep your money. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the promo code BobbySports to get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet this Sunday. That's the code BobbySports, only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. 21 and up in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for terms and resources. Gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER. In Tennessee, call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. All right, there you go. Hey, Mike, this is still on the podcast. We can leave this in too, but yeah. Matt Jones, we want to put this on this one, talking about the Florida game for next week, or do you want to put it on Friday? Because on Friday's show, we're going to have Dan, right?
Ricky Williams?
No, Ricky Williams going to be next week.
Oh, okay, for next week.
Yeah, we're going to Dan Mullen, the head coach from Mississippi State and Florida.
Oh, nice.
Well, he got fired last year, but Still. Yeah, right. Right. He's on ESPN cool. now.
It's awesome.
But he's going to be on Wednesday. Are we going to record Wednesday with him for Friday's show?
Gotcha.
So
it depends if you want two on Friday or not.
Why don't we put the Matt one on this? Talking about the Florida.
Okay.
And oh, Will Levis, who, by the way, his name's Will Levis. But I, Will Levis, man.
That sounds good.
That's what I would change my name to, like Will Joe Theismann. And I mentioned that to Matt. He's like, change his name? I said, yeah. Joe Theismann wasn't Joe Theismann until he was trying to get the Heisman. They changed his name.
Are you serious?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Will Levis.
So what was his name?
That's an NIL deal waiting to happen. Mike, will you see what Joe Theismann's, it's how like they Joe said Smith. His name? Well, hold on. I think his name was still.
Close to that?
Yes, or even exactly
like
that.
Like Theismann or something?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Theismann. No, he's going for the Heisman. Change it. Or, I like it.
We demand you change the Heisman.
Yeah, Theismann.
Okay, yeah.
Wow.
So, but they changed it just so it rhymed with Heisman.
Wow.
So, yeah, we'll talk to Matt Jones coming up in a second after we talk about the games this weekend. We'll do 5 minutes of game talk, and then we'll get with Matt Jones talking about the Florida-Kentucky game next week. The weekend in review, we mentioned the LSU game a little bit. Again, I watched the muff punt, and then I turned it off. And then I turned it back on with 1 second left. And was, by the way, great pass, great catch.
Yeah.
Clutch
yes.
on both. And then the extra point was blocked.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't.
Should they have gone for two, do you think, at all?
I would not go for two. Okay, so they were at home,
yeah.
right? So, no. If I'm on the road there, I'm trying to end the game right now. If I'm at home, I'm trying to extend the game and go win it in overtime because I got the crowd with me. In hindsight, sure.
Right.
Because that kick wouldn't have been blocked.
Right.
General rule is loud environment, you're on the road, you go for two and try to end it there. Less time on the field, better odds for you. So no, I wouldn't have.
And you have that momentum going into overtime.
Yeah.
Like if you,
especially
if you tie it up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a tough one. The only SEC loss.
I know.
They went 13-1. Mm-hmm. So there's that. The Arkansas game, Arkansas-Cincinnati, pretty good game. And Cincinnati's quarterback, although, you know, the new quarterback, he was really good last year at the school he came. I mean, he was like a 3,000-yard passer transfer. So, but yes, Cincinnati, a little bigger and a little faster than maybe I expected them to be overall.
They were physical, too.
They did lose a few guys, but, yeah they were tough. They missed a few easy passes, thank God. Mm-hmm. But we played pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, and especially looking at the Heisman, I'm going to read you here quickly. Here's my top five right now who I think are up for the Heisman. Number one and number 1A, 1B are C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young. They both didn't lose. C.J. Stroud won a big game against Notre Dame. Bryce Young, they killed Utah State. So they're still at one. At two, just right now, this week, I'm putting Anthony Richardson because he has so much shine from that game. They beat number 7. He's got plays that are going viral. That play where he, like, ducks, turns.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So I'm putting him at two right now. At three, Caleb Williams at USC. People are intrigued by USC being a power again. Caleb Williams played pretty well. He had two touchdowns, 250 yards. He rushed for, like, 65 yards. Will Anderson at Alabama, he didn't really do anything spectacular on the stat line. 3 tackles, 1 for a loss. He's going to need a couple big games and big plays that are viral-ish. And then
Texas this week, maybe.
And they're a 20-point favorite right now.
That much?
And then Bijan Robinson at Texas. He was 111 yards and 2 touchdowns. Right, so that's the top five. But listen to this. Arkansas's quarterback, you can play the bias alarm if you want. KJ Jefferson. Threw for 223 and 3 touchdowns and rushed for 62 and 1 touchdown.
Yes.
His stat line is as good as anybody else's against a good top 25 team. The fact that he's not in the mix here pisses me off.
You're right. His performance was good. I worry about him, Bones. Like I feel like every game he looks like he's going to get hurt. And it looks like it's like, oh.
Okay, but every game he doesn't.
But well, he gets up shaky and he's like, oh, I can't feel my arm. Oh, my leg's falling off. Like, and then he just comes back and plays normal again. So I don't know if he's tricking me every time or if I'm really just like, dude, I don't know. They got to protect him more. But he goes for these runs, which is like really good. And he's really good at scrambling with the ball.
And he's not even a scrambler. He's not a run first guy.
But
he's 6'4", 230.
He's huge.
He's big dude.
Can chunk. My only point was he has the stat line. They always list him in the top two or three quarterbacks in the SEC. He has the stat line this week, number one. If he does it again against South Carolina,
put him on there.
It's going to be he's going to have to pop up in that list.
or I quit this show.
I
was wondering. All right.
Georgia, that game got out of hand quick.
Oh, my gosh.
It was never even a game.
No.
I was watching on the line. Never a game. Oh, wow. They're up. Oh, God. And I just thought.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, they covered.
Yeah, why watch that?
It's embarrassing for Oregon. It's embarrassing for the Pac-12.
Yeah. I was watching with my sister who goes to U of O, and she was just, she was second quarter, she's like, turn it off.
Notre Dame lost. I don't really know what to think about that game yet because I don't know what to think about Ohio State. They lost. They had a, so.
It was a good game, and I think, you know, that Ohio State comeback was exciting, you know, but I felt like they were pretty even going into the game. Towards the end of the game, you realize Ohio State's just the better team.
Well, Eddie did call me and go, hey, Ohio State's only like a 5-point. They don't have to give up 5 points right now.
They went from 17 to 5.
And Eddie called and was like, I'm loading up. You probably should too. And I was like, oh, I didn't. Okay. And so I did. And then we hit.
We hit it.
Yeah.
And then he told me, you're responsible if I don't hit this. I'm like, no, I'm just telling you.
I wasn't going to want the money back.
Right.
But if you ever call your boy and go, like, you got to put money down, I wouldn't have even jumped on it. And if I'd have lost, I'd have been like, I wouldn't even bet this except for you, but I'm now giving you the opposite of that.
Let me tell you, though.
I wouldn't have hit that without you.
As soon as I texted you and you said you were going to place the bet, I'm like, oh, now there's more stress on me.
Why didn't you text me?
I couldn't even enjoy the rest of the game.
You didn't want,
you didn't want
me to win
money
too?
Let's just try one person at a time.
Oklahoma looks really good, although they should have, but they still look strong. USC, huge win over Rice. We mentioned Caleb Williams. They're going to be good. Florida and Utah, Anthony Richardson right now is the shiniest of all shiny things. And we'll see how he does against Kentucky. We'll talk to Matt Jones in a second. And the only other game I wanted to mention was Iowa and San Diego State, or South Dakota State, South Dakota State. That it was 5-3 in the fourth. It's 5-3.
What a
field goal.
What?
Yeah, it was Eddie. It's like 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter. It was 5-3.
That's crazy.
Iowa got a safety, kicked a field goal. South Dakota State had a field goal. 5-3. Then they got another safety, which made it 7-3.
Wow.
It's crazy. It's bizarre.
Did you watch that game?
I went to the game because I thought the score was wrong.
You're like, I got to see this for myself.
So Iowa, not a great look, but hilarious. 5-3. I wish it would end 5-3 because then it looked even funnier.
Yeah.
Any game note you want to mention there, kickoff, Kevin?
Just that I didn't hit. Bennett with Georgia, just real quick. He looked phenomenal.
He should be in the Heisman talk too if they do this a couple more times.
Yeah, I've never seen him look more confident. Like, he's out to prove people he can still do it even after all that doubt last year, winning championship. But that was kind of my biggest takeaway from the weekend, just how good he looked.
And I think confidence is a big part of it. Because remember, he didn't start all season last year.
Right.
He was in and out. And so, I agree. Eddie, anything?
I'm just kind of bummed that I can't watch the Texas game whenever they're on Longhorn Network. Because, I mean, I really want to see what they're all about. I want to see this new quarterback. I want to see this running back. I want to see how they are. But then I'm just watching, like, Yahoo Sports or whatever and, like, seeing the little football go down the line. Yeah, I'm like, sucks. I hate it. I can't stand it.
Well, you should be able to watch Alabama, Texas next week.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait for that, dude.
Okay, we're going to go to Matt Jones. All right, on now with Kentucky Sports Radio and national ESPN host Matt Jones, who is in his car. Where are you going, Matt Jones?
I am driving to Louisville for a day off, and great to be with you there, Mr. Big Shot, in his new sports podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm real Big Shot. 11 people listen to this. So Matt Jones is a Kentucky expert, but he's also, again, you're so good on ESPN, and I like to say that because it makes me sound cooler that I have a friend that's on a national radio show. So thanks for making me feel cooler.
Yeah, you don't have any friends that are famous at all. So how in the world is that really the person that you know that is the biggest star? So, I mean, tell Garth Brooks to back off. You know the host at a Sunday morning ESPN show.
Amen to that, brother. Heard everything you said, and I agree. To bring you on, because this Kentucky-Florida game is very interesting to me, because I guess until this Florida-Utah game, everybody thought Florida was pretty terrible. We knew they had a good quarterback possibly, although he hadn't played that much. But now here you go going into this game, and Florida is now the favorite. What do you think about this game coming up?
Well, I still think – I don't think they're terrible, but I still don't necessarily think they're great. I mean, I think the Pac-12 sucks. And, I mean, look, all you got to do is see the preview of the season. People thought it was a three-way race between Utah, Southern Cal, and Oregon. Well, Oregon lost 49-3 to Georgia, and Georgia's really good, but 49-3 is how they'll beat, you know, Murray State. So I think Florida is probably still what I always thought they were. There's about six teams in the SEC. Arkansas, Ole Miss, Kentucky, Tennessee, Florida, South Carolina. I think you could put them all in a pot, and at the end of the year, they might be in any order. And Mississippi State, seven teams. And I'm not exactly sure what that final order is going to be. So I think Saturday, you got South Carolina, Arkansas, you got Kentucky, Florida. We'll have a better sense of what the middle of the SEC looks like after that week.
Were you surprised, though? And again, we're recording this a couple of days before the game, because when I looked at the line on DraftKings, it was Florida was a 4.5-point favorite. Now, had they not beat Utah, and obviously that's a massive part of it, and obviously now they have a Heisman Trophy candidate here, but I just would have thought Kentucky would have been like an 8 or 9-point favorite.
Yeah, I wouldn't have. I thought Florida before Utah. I mean, right now a lot of books. I mean, DraftKings would be the only book I would use.
Absolutely. But
less intelligent books, that line is up to about 6.5 or 7. I would have thought it would have been 2.5 or 3 before the Utah game. Probably got up to 6.5 or 7. I think that's too much. I mean, I would say, I'm not sure Kentucky's going to win, but I would bet Kentucky to cover if I were picking. The biggest thing you can do in college football gambling over the course of my lifetime, sports gambling, I'm not great at it, but I'm pretty good at college football and horse racing. And the biggest lesson of college football is in week two, take whatever happened in week one and try to put it out of your mind, because Vegas and betting public puts way too much stock in the first week. So if you thought Kentucky would beat Florida at the beginning of the year, I don't think there's any reason not to think that now. If you thought Florida would win, that's fine. But I think people put way too much stock in what happens in a game. There won't be another game all season that coaches prepare for like they do week one. So I think Kentucky is still – I would say Florida's a slight favorite, but Kentucky can easily still win the game.
I think Kentucky wins the game. I thought Kentucky would win the game before. I think – and I said on this show last week, I thought Florida was going to beat Utah. But I think Kentucky, I think they have a good enough quarterback. I think Will Levi's is almost as good.
You can't call him Will Levi's.
Yes, I can. He eats mayonnaise in his coffee. He does a lot of weird things. So I'm going to call him Will Levi's.
That's well, then they got to give him an NIL deal if you're going to do that. I don't know why Levi's hasn't done that. I would have, if I was Levi Jeans, I would have done that and then made him pronounce the name like that.
Joe Theismann. That's what they did. Joe Theismann changed it for the Heisman Trophy. That's what I would have done. I'd have been Will Levi's. That's what I call him. He's a guy that, listen, good-looking guy, good quarterback. They're popping him in the top 5 or 6 quarterbacks could be drafted this next year, and I think he's being discredited a bit or not given enough credit when it comes to how good of a quarterback he is, especially when they play a team like Florida.
Well, I think that's, to me, if you're not a Kentucky or Florida fan, the big story about the game this weekend is most NFL scouts believe Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud will go 1-2 in the draft in quarterbacks. But if there's a third, this may be the game that decides who goes third. I mean, you've got two of the three probably best contenders to be the third quarterback taken playing head-to-head against each other. Todd McShay said recently he thinks there will be an NFL scout literally from every team at that game Saturday, and they're basically going to look at these two guys and say, I'm going to see them both on the field. Let's see which one's better. So it is a money-making game for both those dudes, and I think that's going to tell you a lot as well. Who can rise up to that, you know, pressure? Because for those two kids, yeah, it's a huge game for their teams. But for those two kids, it is a multi-million-dollar football game Saturday night.
Who would you take of those two quarterbacks?
In college, Richardson, and the pros, Levis.
But, oh, yeah, draft. So Levis is the pick. So if you're drafting a team, you're taking Levi's.
Levis third, because I think Levis's arm strength is just kind of on another level. To me, Levis is Josh Allen again, which is Josh Allen is better in the pros than he was at Wyoming. I think Levis is really good in college, but I think he's going to be an even better pro.
Well, you'll be happy to know that I simulated the 2023 draft on Madden, and I think he went number 17 overall and went ahead of Richardson.
Yeah, and that's what I think it should be. I mean, look, Richardson, I think, has a lot of potential as well. But Richardson is tailor-made for college offenses. Unlike, say, Lamar, Richardson, I'd be worried, is RG3. Whereas Lamar had arm strength. People always acted like he didn't have great arm strength. He could throw it 80 yards. It was unbelievable in college. So, but we'll see. Listen, Richardson might end up being a great pro, but if you ask me who to bet on, I would take Levis.
Again, homer alert, but you know who played better than both of those quarterbacks against probably a tougher team is KJ Jefferson from Arkansas, who had four touchdowns, 260 yards in the air, basically 70 yards rushing. And his name hadn't even been mentioned in this. I think he's better than both of them.
Yeah, he's not a pro. I mean, he's a good player, but he's not a pro.
What's not a pro? He throws as good as Levi's.
Listen, first of all, slow down with how good Cincinnati is. Cincinnati may end up having a good year, but it is hard for a team like Cincinnati to lose three dudes drafted in the top two rounds. That programs like Cincinnati, that doesn't happen. And then all of a sudden be really good the next year. I want to see what Arkansas does against South Carolina. If Arkansas's for real, they're going to win that game. And to me, that's another great test to see between Spencer Rattler and Jefferson, okay? Who's the best in that tier of quarterbacks? I think we find out Saturday.
Well, didn't you guys play like Walnut U and struggle with them last week?
No, I mean, look, first of all, if you go through Mark Stoops' history, he always struggles the first game. Matter of fact, they won Saturday's game against Miami, Ohio by more than they've ever won a first game ever. But they always do that. Miami of Ohio, though, probably wins the MAC. So, I mean, again, it's the MAC. I'm not acting like it's great. But they do. When you're doing Thursday night and Tuesday night bets later in the year, I think Miami of Ohio is a good team to bet on. You remember Blaine Gabbert plays in the pros. His brother's the quarterback there.
All I know is I saw your tweets, and you're like, our defense has got to get better. Our offense. And I was like, well, looks like they're struggling with Walnut U. What?
For the last 10 years, or 5 years at least, Kentucky's offensive line has been one of the best in the SEC. It's not this year. But they got better quarterbacks, receivers, running backs than they've had in a long time.
I really like Kentucky, and I think Kentucky will take it to Florida. I think they'll win the game. I'll be interested to see what the spread is. I think Florida's getting a lot of shine right now. Listen, they did win a big game against Utah. But as I said last week, I just felt like they were going to be bigger, faster, and stronger than Utah, and that was going to be what separated them from the number 7 team in the country that really isn't the number 7 team in the country.
That's what we see when the SEC plays all these conferences. I mean, I don't understand why you ever bet against an SEC team in a non-conference game unless they're playing a team that is also loaded with similar athletes from, you know, the South, basically. So Florida State last night beat LSU, but they're full. They've got a ton of those players, too. That's why Clemson can compete with them. That's why some, not all, but some Big Ten teams can, really Ohio State, because they get those kind of guys, too. But when they play Pac-12 teams or Big 12 teams or even most of the Big Ten, I'm always going to take the SEC. I mean, when the SEC, ACC play those last games of the year rivalries, the SEC is just dominating those games now. Kentucky has beaten Louisville by a combined 92 points in the last 3 years. There's just too many good players in the SEC. I will always, always, always pick SEC schools against anybody except just a handful of teams that are also based in the South.
Well, with that, too, we're both SEC homers, but I think we're homers. Well, I think we're knowledgeable homers. But the SEC went 13-1. Heck, like I play in the SEC. It had been 14-0 if LSU, they needed to make the kick. Well, and then
lucky. They were lucky to even be in that game. I mean, Florida State, I don't know why they pitched the ball to your yard line when all you need is a field goal. But I mean, just all you got to do is look at the recruiting ranking. So, Bobby, I mean, next year's recruiting, there's still guys that have not committed, but of the people that have committed, there are more top 500 players committed to SEC schools than every other Power 5 conference combined. I mean, come on. That's all you need to know. Like, I mean, the best players are now stocked up in the SEC, and when Texas and Oklahoma come, it's only going to be worse. So I don't know that there's going – USC will turn into a powerhouse under Ryan. You know, I think, you know, Clemson's good, Ohio State, Michigan, maybe Penn State, Notre Dame. Maybe there's 8 programs around the country that stay good. But the next 12 best are all going to be in the SEC.
I mean, you're wearing a Michigan hat. You didn't even mention Michigan.
This is Middlesboro High School, where I went to high school.
Oh, it looks like it. I mean, it's the same M.
Yeah, no, they copied it from Middlesboro.
But you also wear a Yankees hat all the time, so it wouldn't be out of character for you to wear some obscure team and you claim you're also a fan of them.
Denver Nuggets. I only collect, like, I don't spend money on anything important. I only collect hoodies and shoes like I'm an 18-year-old boy. And so I have a hoodie from almost – I have an Arkansas hoodie. I have a I don't have Florida because they're a rival, but I have most of the SEC teams.
See, and I could not basketball, but I could sport something Kentucky and Phil, because I like Kentucky sports except for basketball, because your fans are awful and rude and
they're
literally the meanest. Literally the meanest group of fans, and I tried to be open and tried to be loving, but just not football. I hope Kentucky football wins a lot. I'm rooting for you guys. Kentucky basketball, your representatives are the worst.
Listen, all you got to do is ask Malik Monk how your state treated him when he came to Kentucky to talk about every fan base is mean and sucks. Now, there's a couple that are worse.
Yeah, Kentucky.
There's nobody worse than Tennessee football. Nobody on earth. But everybody is – I mean, you saw
– But that's not accurate. It's just not accurate. I constantly interact with a lot of folks in Big Ten, Big 12, and SEC universes. And in both sports, football and basketball. I do. And with that being – Kentucky has just treated me the absolute worst.
Well, that's just a personal thing. They don't like you. But in general, I think that it's there's no difference between most. I mean, you saw when LSU played Florida State, the LSU fans were they were like trying to attack the Florida State players at the end of that game. All those frat boys. I wish one or two of them had gotten what they wanted and gotten to the players, because it wouldn't have gone well for the frat boys. But every fan base that cares is like that. I do think Tennessee football hits a different level than everybody else, but in general, we all suck when we're good.
But some suck harder. And here's the list. The worst programs that I have had to deal with, fan bases that come at me and just are hateful and personal. Kentucky basketball, the worst. Second, both UTs going second and third. Tennessee football, because they still feel like they're relevant and they're kind of getting back to relevance again. I say kind of, like there's optimism for relevance, but you would have thought they'd won 5 national championships in the last 15 years in football. They are not as mean, but I guess they don't have an understanding that everybody else has kind of laughed at them for a long time. And then 3 is UT Texas, where they were so good for so long and they just are rich. And they look down on everyone. Those 1, 2, and 3 are probably football for Texas.
Bias, because 2 of those 3 are places where you've lived. And so I think that makes it a little different for you. I would say this. People hate the team that they want to be like, right? So like Kentucky football, I think that's partially why we hate Tennessee football. They beat us for years and years and years, and they're right there next to us. So I think that's why they hate us. Arkansas basketball fans really hate Kentucky basketball fans because you all traditionally have been the second best team in the conference. You haven't – well, you started to be in the last year or two, but then you had like a 10 or 15-year gap. But back in the 90s, that's – you were, and so that's why you hate us, because we've just been a better version of
you. No, I hate you guys because you're freaking mean and you
– But we're mean.
No, you're personal. Everybody else is talking about how ugly I am or how I grew up poor or how I have the voice of a 13-year-old or my nose or you want to keep going or how they're going to come to my house or they know where I live. That's the only fan base that has ever said, we will come to your house and hurt you.
Well, I'm sorry that happened to you, but I do not believe Kentucky fans are making fun of you for being poor. We're the poorest state in the United States.
That's why it hurt even worse. Let's be honest. That's why it hurt even worse. Yeah, and you laugh now at me being poor. See, now he's laughing at me being poor. Sorry, we can't all be lawyers. Okay, look.
Well, I'm laughing at you because you're hosting a sports show wearing white jeans. There are very few people that do that. Mm-hmm. And so the tight white jeans look is what is my favorite part of your ensemble.
I can, though. Tell me I can't.
No, you can. Yeah. Listen, you can pull it off. You're a very handsome man. Just saying to you. Like when I turn on television, I don't see a lot of like jocks in tight white jeans. It's like you and Emmanuel Acho are the only two that try to pull that off.
Well, he's an actual jock. I think that's the difference. I was okay up until about 18. Okay, Matt Jones from Kentucky Sports Radio and ESPN. End on this. Give me how you feel like this game's going to shake out this weekend.
If they made me bet – I'd probably say Florida 20, Kentucky 17. And that's really more of a function of the game being in the swamp. If it was in Lexington, I'd probably flip those scores. But being in, I think the teams, like I said, I think what you're going to see amongst those seven teams that I mentioned is the home team wins almost all of those matchups. So Kentucky hosts South Carolina and Mississippi State this year. I think they'll win those games. They go to Florida and Tennessee. I think they'll lose those games. I think that's those seven teams are all about the same, and it's all just going to depend on who's the home team.
All right, Matt, appreciate you, buddy. Good to see you.
Thank you, man.
Thanks to Matt Jones. We'll be back Friday, and we'll have Dan Mullen on, which will be really cool. We have Ricky Williams next week lined up.
Love it.
We got some really – I can't believe the guests we're getting. We got some other – like Cal Herd's going to come on.
Crazy, dude.
Awesome.
I got NFL. It's just crazy. It's crazy. Thank you for your support. Follow at 25 Whistles. Follow at Kickoff Kevin. Follow at Producer Eddie. I'm at Mr. Bobby Bones. And I'm just going to pick Kentucky to beat Florida. That's it. I think that's it. I know it's in the swamp. You heard me. I said it. I'm 7-0.
You're bragging on that
rolling.
One.
Well, it's not going to be. I got to brag now because it ain't going to be that way long. So yeah, that's what I say. We'll see you, see you guys later this week. Bye, everybody. Oh, wait. Are we still rolling?
Yep.
Okay. That's all three blow the whistle.
Oh, that's good.
All right. We're out of here, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Friday.
See you Friday. We're all off. All right. Theme song written by me, Bobby Bones, and performed by Brandon Ray. Brandon's an awesome artist. Follow Brandon on socials at Brandon Ray Music. Thanks to our guests and thanks to our crew. My co-host, Adam Hambrick, at Adam Hambrick. Our segment producer, at Kickoff Kevin. Our video producer, at Producer Eddie. Head producer, at Mike Destro. Most importantly, thank you for listening. I'm Bobby Bones, and we will talk to you next week on 25 Whistles.